بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, we know the Asbab al-Nuzul of the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. I have mentioned this several times. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, the Sahaba, and this is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, by Ibn Abbas and others radiallahu anhu, and they even named the Sahaba who, or at least the prominent ones among them who were there, and that included Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. It included and others who were there in Medina at that time. And there was, I think if I'm not mistaken, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was there, and there was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and others who went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the narrator of the hadith, he recorded how it happened. They said that they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they fell down on their knees before him. They did not make sajda to him, but they knelt down before him and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَإِن تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِلَهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِلَهِ That whatever you have, whether you say it outside or whether it's in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable. And فَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ And if Allah wants to punish, He will punish. And if Allah wants to leave or forgive, He will forgive. So they said that this ayat is so heavy on us. They said, we are responsible for, we know what we say. And we are responsible for our actions. But what is in our heart, what is in our mind, our thoughts, our desires, these are not in our control. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold us accountable for this, then we are destroyed. We cannot survive. We will be finished. Now, if you look at this statement of the Sahaba, it sounds reasonable. No? It sounds reasonable. Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that He will hold you accountable even for your thoughts. The Sahaba are saying thoughts come and thoughts go. It's not that I consciously think about something, because then it becomes an intention. If I consciously think about doing something and I want to do it, it's an intention. We are not talking about intentions. We are talking about thoughts. Thought can come and go. And if Allah is going to hold me accountable for this, then this is something which is, I cannot bear it. But see the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, Are you going to be like those who came before you and when they were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something, they would say, Sama'na wa asayna. They would say, we have heard, but we will not obey. And then he said, Qul, Sama'na wa atana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. He said, say, O Allah, we have heard and we obey. Forgive us. And to you is our return. We heard and we obey. Sama'na wa ata'na. I remind myself and you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, we heard, we'll think about it, and then we'll obey if it makes sense. We heard but we are not sure. No. Sama'na wa ata'na. Allah has ordered and we will do. Whether we understand it, whether we agree with it, whether we like it, whether we don't like it. we and our wish and our desire does not come in the middle of this. Samayana Vatana, Allah has said and we will do. Complete and total unquestioning obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. As I have said before, unquestioning does not mean unthinking. We do not question because we know the thinking part of it, the decision making part of it has already been decided. We know who is Allah. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do something for our benefit, not for Allah's benefit. Because Allah does not benefit, nobody can benefit him, nobody can harm him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do this, it is for us. Allah told us, Aqimus Salah, Allah said, establish the Salah. For whom is the Salah? The Salah is being prayed to Allah. But who is the beneficiary of the Salah? Ourselves. Allah does not benefit from our Salah. If every single living human being on the face of the earth became Muslim, and if they all became Musalliyin, and if they all had the Salah of the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, it still would not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by one iota, one degree. The rutba, the maqam, the waqar, the position, the glory, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not increase because everyone is praying. And the opposite of that, if everybody left Islam and they became completely and totally murtad and atheist, right? And if they denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not decrease the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by one iota, one degree. Allah is completely independent of what His makhluk does. Whether it is human beings or angels or malaika or whoever, whatever He knows. Allahu samad. Allah is free from all wants, including the want for ibadah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so when we say we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unquestioningly, it does not mean it is unthinking. It's not unthinking. It's not blind obedience. It's obedience with complete and total understanding of who Allah is. It's not blind at all. It's an obedience with complete understanding. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Sama'ana wa atana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. The Sahaba did not argue. The Sahaba did not say, no, Ya Rasulullah, you did not understand us. This is not what we meant. We actually meant something else. No. They came with a genuine thought, with a genuine doubt in their minds. And when they presented it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to that in a way which was inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, accept this fact that if you are Muslim, then you are in this position. Sami'ana wa atana. I hear and I obey. And immediately they said, Sami'ana wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. They said, we hear and we obey. O our Rabb, please forgive us and to you is our return. Now, the asbab al-nuzul of this ayat also include what happened thereafter. And what happened thereafter? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. The skies did not open up, malaika did not descend, nothing happened. So apparently, this conversation happened, within quotes nothing was resolved, or the Sahaba had to accept, they accepted. And the weight of this ayah, the burden of this ayah, that Allah is holding me accountable, because what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell them? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whatever Allah has said, He will do. So say, I hear and I obey. So what did you hear until then? You heard that Allah will hold you accountable for your thoughts. So now I have to watch my thoughts. I have to watch my desires. Because Allah will hold me accountable for this and I will die with this. If I die with this, Allah might punish me. The Sahaba lived with this for 1 year. For 12 months, nothing happened. After 12 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which also abrogate this particular ayat. Where Allah said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And then all the way until the end. And in that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also included the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالُوا سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his Nabi alayhi salam, and he honored the Sahaba by including those words as, by returning them as his own words to be recited in Salah. But this honor came after 12 months. This ayat was not abrogated immediately, it was abrogated after 12 months. Now that was the kind of training, that was the kind of psychological training, that was the kind of tazkiyatun nafs, that was the kind of training of the heart, of complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without question, that the Sahaba were given. Today we think this deen is simple. This deen is simple compared to all kinds of complications that people create when they invent religions. But it's not so simple that, you know, you just name yourself Abdul Rahman and you are in Jannah forever. No. If I name myself Abdul Rahman, I have to live like Abdul Rahman, not just have a name like Abdul Rahman. Wear a topi, have a beard and I think I am in heaven. No, you are not in heaven. Not only will you not be in heaven, but you will probably be one of the first people to be dragged into the hellfire if you don't live your life properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa na'udhubika min an-nar. Because if we do these things, if we do disobedience of Allah, then we are doubly culpable, because we are disobeying Allah in spite of knowing what we should be doing. So we are deliberately disobeying, and in spite of accepting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship and obedience. So it's not a simple matter of saying this just happened. It doesn't happen. You know what you should be doing. You do not do that. You know who is Allah. Despite that, you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are doubly guilty, not single. You are guilty twice over. So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us remember this. The basic fundamental principle of Islam is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the way of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be on the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah has made it very easy for us. We don't have to say, how should I obey Allah? What must I do? No. Follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are automatically on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any situation, look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and do that, and you are on the right path. You are on Siratul Mustaqim, which leads to Jannah Al-Firdaus bi ghairi hisab, inshallah. And instead of that, if you stray here and there, then we have only ourselves to blame. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us obedient to Him, to help us to understand the value and the beauty of obeying Him, and to keep us on the path that was shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.